Good morning, good morning. Good morning and welcome to each of you that's here today at this first Sunday here in July. I want to say welcome to our family and friends that are joining us via live Facebook. Come on, let's bless the Lord with a hand clap of praise. Come on, you should be excited about today. Amen, amen, amen. If this is your first time with us, a very special welcome to you on behalf of myself and the elders here at Gateway. We count it a blessing that for you to be a part of this fellowship on today. And I pray that your time here with us today will prove beneficial and edifying. At this time, we're going to have our fifth grade and below be dismissed. And if you're serving in that area, fifth grade and below. Fifth grade and below and those who are serving in that area. All right, for those of us who are going to remain in here today, by way of an introduction today, recently we've been reminded that it is God's desire to have a personal relationship with his creation, particularly mankind, because we've been created in his image and in his likeness. The invisible God says that you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Amen. Now, the scriptures teach us that no one comes to the Father but through the Son. Now, knowledge alone of Jesus Christ is not, that alone would not gain you a relationship with God, because even demons know that there is a God, right? Jesus said, if anyone desires to be my disciple, he or she must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me daily. So we cannot expect to have a genuine relationship with God through his Son if it's going to be a half-hearted attitude. No, the scripture says you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And we noted a couple of weeks ago, you can't have idols put before him, or come before him, rather. Your spouse can actually be an idol. Your children can actually be an idol. Your career could actually be an idol. And idols are not always just people. Technology can be an idol. Television can be an idol. Your cell phone can be an idol. Some of us can't live without social media. Anything that comes before God, anything that demands more of your attention or you're more devoted to than God, is an idol. And God is very clear in his word. He will not share his glory with no one, with anyone or anything. Even when Satan tried to tempt the Son of God in the wilderness, he tried to offer him all the kingdoms of this world and all the riches of this world. He says, if you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus says, it is written, you worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so our ultimate goal, at least if you're a professed believer, our ultimate goal is to establish a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ and his finished works on the cross. It was Jesus' death and burial that was payment for penalty of our sins, and it was his resurrection over gaining victory over sin and death that gives us a sure hope of an eternal future. And now, as professed believers, we are called to worship God in spirit and in truth. And yet, I believe there are people still today who still try to establish their own religion. They try to create a God that they can live with. And the problem with that is when you do that, you build a God that is of no help to you at all. And so today, and this is an assumption here, I'm assuming we're here with one purpose, to worship God. I hope I'm assuming correctly. But what many people fail to see or understand is that God is in control of the type of worship that is to be offered to him. True worship is worship that God dictates. Imagine coming to church today and you're bringing your offering to God. I'm not talking about money. You bring your offering of praise. You're bringing your offering in giving. You're bringing your offering to God. I'm coming in here to worship God today. And you watch somebody else praise while your worship is ignored. That's exactly what we're going to see happen in our text today with Cain. But the real problem is not the sacrifice that Cain made on the altar. It's the heart condition that was underneath that. And so if you haven't already, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. Like Tucker said, the first book of the Bible, so it should be easy. Genesis chapter 4. And if you didn't bring a Bible and you want to look along, there's one beneath the seat in front of you. Or you can just look up on the screen behind me and you can read along with me there. But once you have it, for those who are able, stand with me out of respect to reading God's word. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. May not deal with verse 8, but definitely the first 7. But we're going to read 8 verses for the context. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Again she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. The title for today's subject or message, if you will, is acceptable worship. Acceptable worship. Let me pray, and then I'll let you have your seat. Father, we come, and we give praise, we give honor, we give glory, God. We thank you, God, and recognize that it was only by your sovereign grace that we stand here today. And I pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, not only will you knit these many hearts as one before you, God, but that all that is given in this place will be worship in spirit and in truth. And God, as your word go forward today, I pray that it accomplish everything that you will for it to accomplish and bring much glory to your name. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Have a seat. Acceptable worship. All around this world today, churches are filled with people under the assumption that we've all come to worship God. Now, many of us are familiar with Genesis chapter 3. That tells us of the fall of man. When mankind disobeyed God, sin and death entered into the world, and as a result of their judgment, Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, right? So when we come to chapter 4 here, man is now living east of Eden. Paradise has been lost. Adam and Eve, they're out of the garden. And when we come to verses 1 and 2, it tells us of the first human births. They now have 2 sons. Look at verse 1 again. In the first part of verse 2 says, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, just meaning they had intimate relationship. And she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, I've gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. There's a play on Cain's name here. When she says, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord, that's what his name means, with the Lord's help. So she's giving glory to God, recognizing that his sovereignty and that this child is actually a gift from God. So she names him Cain. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. So again, this just lets us know of the first human births that are there. But as they mature, we notice something here. Look at the second part of verse 2 there. And Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So now we learn that both sons have basically taken on trades here, if you will. Cain, he's a farmer. He works the soil. He's a tiller of the ground. Continuing with the agricultural labor that Adam was doing, if you will. But Abel becomes a keeper of the flocks. And I found this interesting because if you know the Genesis account, you know at first man was not even given to eat meat, that it was all the fruit that or the vegetables that was given that man would eat, but man didn't have to eat meat. But we see Abel here as a keeper of the flocks. And I'll share with you a little bit later why that was so important there. But this at least lets you know why or how God was able to cover them with skins of animals that was there. But I want you to note, because our main focus is on today is going to be about acceptable worship. All around the world, churches are filled. All of you have come here today with, at least I'm assuming, to worship the one true God. And so we learn of the first two human births here, and we learn essentially of the trades that they have, a tiller of the ground and a keeper of the flock. Nothing major, nothing seems out of place here, but go to verse 3 for me. It says, so it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. Now, when you first read this, this doesn't seem like a major deal at all. It seems like a very good thing. You got two guys, both coming to worship God by bringing an offering before God. If Cain is a tiller of the ground, he brought of what he's used to working. Abel is a keeper of the flock, he brought of what he used to tending to. What's the big deal? It seems like both of these things are very good things. It seems like this would be ideal. If I'm a keeper of the ground or tiller of the ground, why not bring some of my fruit? If I'm a keeper of flocks, why not bring something from the animals that I got? But here is the problem. I'm of the belief that God would have given directions regarding what the offering has to be. I don't believe this is a text where they just thought about it one day. You know what? Let's just go take something before God. I don't believe that. I believe Hebrews chapter 11, 4 indicates that God had already told them how they were to approach him and with what kind of offering they were to bring. Here's what Hebrews 11, 4 says. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Well, what made it actually better? Well, the text says it was by faith that Abel's offering was better. Now, faith in the Bible is always connected to concrete revelation from God. What I mean by that? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. It's not blind faith. They didn't just come with an offering of, let me just try to think of something that I can do. No, faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul says that. So faith is not just something without any foundation, you guys. Abel did not have a blind faith in his offering. Abel was responding to what God had at some point said. So with that being said, that would give an estimation that God had given revelation regarding the sacrifices. And on the basis of that revelation, on the basis that God had told them what kind of sacrifices that he wanted, Abel acted in faith in accordance to what God had said, and Cain did not. And so the Hebrew author says Abel's sacrifice was better, because he offered one that was acceptable to God. And since Cain did not offer it in accordance with the directions of God, he did not offer it in faith. So therefore, it was not acceptable to God. And for those who would take the time to go on and continue to read that fourth chapter, two verses later, the author would say it's impossible to please God without faith. So we see what becomes the basic issue at the very beginning of worship is this. Is it offered in faith or is it not offered in faith? That's going to determine whether your worship is acceptable or not. So those two cannot be separated, you guys, and that truth carries from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The sacrifices never saved anybody, none of them. But those who believed God responded in faith, and they offered sacrifices that God had required of them. So under the law, they were required to offer certain sacrifices. And those people that didn't make those sacrifices, it indicated that they didn't believe God and that they were not going to do it his way. And so what happens is, and we got to be careful there, because there are those in the Old Testament who also offered sacrifices who they still didn't believe God either. Isaiah chapter 1 says, God told them, your sacrifices are detestable to me. Yeah, he says, I despise them. Don't even bring them to me anymore. And why? Wait, God, if you say bring sacrifices to you, why are you going to despise the sacrifices that they bring? Because these people were not bringing their sacrifices in faith. They were not bringing it according to what he had said. They couldn't go out there and live any kind of way and live and worship other idols and then still think they can bring their sacrifices to him, because he says you can't have no other God before me. So it was not in faith. So what we have here is Abel here is making a religious offering. And let me clear something up. I saw my cousin come in here earlier today, and him and I had a conversation about this a long time ago about religion and those types of things. And I think here's the confusion, you guys. Christianity is not my religion. That's my faith. Religion has to do with your action. That's why it says pure religion is doing what? What does the New Testament say about pure religion? It's taking care of who? The widows and the orphans. That's your action. Your faith is your core belief of what you do. So what Abel is in action here, he's coming to make a religious offering here. And I need you to understand, it is not good enough for a man to bring whatever that man thinks is good enough to bring. You got to come to God the way God directs you to come. It is not enough to come to God. Watch this. This is going to make some people offended, but it is not enough to come to God with the best that you have. Hold on to that now. I know that don't sound right, but God never in his word says, I'll accept you if you come with your best. No, he says, I'll accept you when you come my way. Because many people are trying to do the best I can. But he says, Jesus says, I'm the only way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to the Father but by me. So you can't come to God. You can't approach God, even if you think I'm coming to you with my best. Because even though some people have tried to argue, well, that's the difference between Cain and Abel. Cain didn't bring his best. It doesn't tell you that. It doesn't say that up there. Well, it does emphasize that Abel brought of his firstlings and the fat portions, and we'll get to that, but you still can't say from that text that it's saying that Cain just brought him any kind of thing. But what you're not going to see, and I believe this is where people stumble here, people have this attitude that they will come to God, but only if they can come their way. In essence, that's what Cain is saying. I'm coming, and I'm making an offering, but it's going to be what I want. I'm coming my way. But now faith isn't involved in that. He's not showing trust in God. He's showing trust in himself. I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring you what I want, and you need to accept it. And his lack of obedience is evidence of that. And many of us don't realize that this is the attitude of many in the church today. Many of us, either consciously or subconsciously, we're saying to God, this is what I'm going to do. And if he doesn't want it, too bad. And that's Cain's attitude. I'm here. I brought my fruit. Here I am, Lord. Accept it. And some of us have this. I'm at church today, right? Yeah, I'm here. I'm at church today. I showed up. So, Lord, you should accept it, Lord. I'm here. I don't want to offer songs of praises to you, but you need to recognize I did show up at church today. Watch this, though, because I told you faith apart from his word, the two are always connected. Here's what the Old Testament says about songs of praise. Psalm 95, 1 and 2 explicitly states this. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So that's Old Testament. What about New Testament? I'm glad you asked. Colossians 3:16 says this for the believer. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. See, you don't get to decide how you're going to come and worship. You find out what he requires of you, and you come and offer that worship. Oh, well, and you're going to have to forgive me at home, but I got to say it. Because some of us got an attitude at home, well, I'm going to worship online. I don't have to go to the building to worship God. God knows my heart. Well, he also commands in his word for us to not to forsake to assemble ourselves together. Now, we try to make that simple command difficult because we'll throw in a but what about? A but what if this is happening? It still won't change the command. Modern technology did not take God by surprise. Well, you know, back then they didn't have social media and they couldn't do Facebook Live. God's not surprised by Facebook Live, and yet he still put it in his word. Do not forsake to assemble yourselves together. And you know what that sounds like? We're in Genesis 4. This sounds just like Genesis 3. God gave a simple command. You can eat of any of those trees, freely eat of it, except for one. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I don't want you to eat that. The day you eat of it, you'll die. Here comes the serpent. Did God really say, if you eat of that tree, you'll die? Now, here's how that translates to what we're talking about. Did God really say you got to assemble yourselves together? Did he really say that, Singleton?
He did.
At least you online. You in some form of worship, fellowship. And now we don't realize we find ourselves outside of the will of God. Because what did she do? Dog, it's good to eat. This one look pretty juicy. And I can get knowledge and wisdom from it? You mean I can stay at home? I ain't got to get up and get dressed? And you know such and such going to be there. I don't like him or her anyway. And God, I'm still worshiping. I'm still getting the word. You don't realize the whole point of the enemy. That's how he attacked our Savior in the wilderness, was using the word in an improper way. And we've got to be very careful about this when it comes to our worship. We think that we can bring out, do what we want as our form of worship. God, if I give you 2 Sundays out of the month, you ought to be happy. The same God that you claim gets you up every day. The same God you claim that gives you strength in your body, that gives you the wisdom and knowledge to do whatever it is that you do, the one that's providing for your home, protecting your home, that same God you're now telling, this is it. You like it or leave it. But we got to be very careful about that, because all that we're doing is we're offering our worship to God our way. And then let's just be real about it. If it wasn't for people, legitimate people who are home, who cannot come in, I would do away with Facebook Live. There are some who have a legitimate issue they can't come in. I know for a long time, Mama Frances, you couldn't make it. And it wasn't because she didn't have a desire to. If the woman could, she would have been here every Sunday. But if it wasn't for those legitimate people, I'd do away with it. Because I'm like, well, you know, find some other online service, because I believe it's God's will that you're here. I don't even get mad sometimes when Facebook Live go down. Be like, should have been at church. I don't even get mad about it. But what I want you to see here, though, and I'm not trying to be comical with this. This is actually very crucial, and you're getting ready to see this in a moment. But that's what I'm assuming we're here for, to worship, to fellowship one with another and to worship God. Many people, but what God sees is one body, one spirit, one Lord. He's seeing his body. We come to worship him. We cannot come. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, is what? Is what? I can't speak up. It's destruction. People don't realize that we think about that's just something with sins. It is, but there's a way that seems right to you, and it's not getting you anywhere with the Lord. Just because you, guess what? Just because you stand in a pulpit don't even make you right with the Lord. Any man can put on a suit and get up here, and if you got the gift of gab, you can talk to people. That's not it. No. He has a great requirement of me before I ever even get up here. But here we are. You got 2 men that have come. On the surface, it don't seem like nothing is wrong. It seems like, God, you've been a little petty. That's what we say. You're being petty. The man brought you of the fruit of the ground. What's the big deal? It's a very big deal if he's already clear on what he expects of you. It's a very big deal. You do not let the enemy make these little my what ifs and buts and all those types of things and act like that gives you an excuse to ignore the word of God. You can't do that. But you got these two that has come. Cain's is the fruit of the ground. Now, I will say something about Abel's offering. It shows that he put a lot of thought into it. I believe Abel, by faith, knowing what God has said, you're supposed to bring, and this speaks to the blood offering and those types of things. I believe God had already explained it to them, but it does speak about him. He didn't want to just bring a blood offering. It says he brought the firstlings of his flock. And the fat portion, the most desirable parts of his flock. And look at what it says here at the end of the verse. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. He had regard and respect. He accepted Abel's offering. Now, here's something I need you to see very clear. Regard for Abel and for his offering. You cannot separate the offering from the person. No, Abel, he is not his offering, but he's accepted by God because of what he did, according to what God had already revealed to them. So it's going to say, go to verse 5 here, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. He had no respect for it. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Now that's a strong statement right there, because you know who he's angry with? He's angry with God. The word angry here means he's burned up. He's so angry with God because God won't accept his offering on his term. Like many of us, when somebody comes, because God is not speaking out the sky and saying it to you directly, but he may use a preacher man or a woman, and they come to you and tell you about what God has said, and now you think you're angry with them, but you're actually angry with God. But his countenance fell. He became burned up. His countenance talks about his face became downcast because God had no regard for his offering. Now, you would think, especially for those of us who have two different views about the God of the Old Testament and the New, but you would think God would be through with this man. You got the audacity to be mad at me because you didn't bring what I already told you what you got to bring? But many of us don't realize we're in this same boat. If a person, even like today, we're up here to encourage you about an acceptable word. If you are truly here to worship God, you must worship him the way he has dictated in his word to be worshiped. And that means I don't get to come when I feel like it, because he tells me I need to come. He tells me that it's not just about checking the list off that you showed up on Sunday, but that we are mutually beneficial to one another. But he desires for us to fellowship one with another and to worship. He wants our worship. Yeah, you can do individual worship, but there's a call in the scripture for corporate worship. That means, family, I love you, forgive me, but that means you don't just stay at home. Not because, I promise you this is not because I just want to fill the seats. The word commands for us to do that. I used to be you. When I thought people didn't even want to hear the truth, I just said, no, Lord, forget them. I'll just stay at home, teach my little family, we good. But that's not what his word says. So I was out of the will of God. But here you got one where Cain now is angry with God. His countenance, his face is falling. And look at this, rather than God being through with him, look at the grace of God. God could have been through, but he says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your counsel? And it's not that the all-knowing God don't know what's wrong with him. He's trying to get Cain to see something about himself. Why are you angry and why is your countenance falling? Cain, do you really understand why you're mad? Look at the next verse. He says, you know what? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. Cain, why are you upset? Think about that, really, Cain. Why are you so upset? If you would have just did it the way that I told you to do it, it wouldn't be a problem. You're upset and you're angry with God because you want to do it your way. And he's not going to accept it just because you do it your way. And that's the type of society I'm afraid we still live in today. We are not just in our worship. We won't even come and have a relationship with God because we want to come to him our way. He has to accept me for how I am. Now, there's a trick. You got to be careful. The enemy try to trick you. God will accept you just as you are, but he's not going to leave you that way. Then, and even accepting you just as you are, it still has to be under his terms and accepting that he'll accept that you are a sinner. And he'll accept that if you repent and accept what his son did for you, he opens his arms wide open to you. But now, if you're going to be on that broad way with the wide gate that everybody, most people are on, and think at the end of the day, God is just, you're going to live your best life. You know that because we get, this is the end. You're going to live your best life down here from that worldly sense and think you're going to walk through them gates. You're going to be in for a big surprise. You don't get to do it your way and expect or demand, if you will, that God now accept you. Everything has to be on his terms. And here, you got two people bringing an offering. One is accepted and one is not. And I believe the scripture's indication is, based off of Hebrews, by faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. That indicates to me they knew exactly what God's expectation was for them. And yet one decided, I'm going to do it this way. And when he gets before God, God has no regard for it. And this man is angry. And God says, why are you angry? If you do well, would it not be accepted? So it's almost amazing that you would get mad when God is saying, all you got to simply do is do it my way. Why is that such a problem for you? Just simply do it his way. You got many people today, what they call worship is not worship at all. It's a good emotional experience that they're having at church. But now are you here to worship him or are you here for your emotional experience? It has to be with an attitude. Now, I'm finna get very personal, and God knows I'm saying this out of love to you guys. I want your worship to be acceptable to him. I told you guys it wasn't so much as the offering as much as it was an underlying heart condition. It amazes me how you'll show up on time for that job, but you act like showing up on time to worship God is a little thing. It amazes me if we were going to see some renowned person and they're getting ready to come in. Let's just say some person of dignity come in and everybody's quiet. But when it's time for us to come before the king together, and it's like we all in our conversation about our cookout yesterday and how much fun we had and all. And I'm saying there's a place for that, but I'm just talking about our heart attitude when we're coming before the king. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is that's why, and I'm being completely transparent to you guys. I used to come out here and listen to the praise team when they were praying. I wait about 5 minutes because I don't want to even be interrupted. I don't even want to be distracted because somebody want to tell me about what they did last week. And it's not trying to be disrespectful to you. I want to come in and I want us to focus on him. Because he deserves it. He deserves it. That's what I was under the assumption that that's what we were here for. Or that's who we are here for. And I believe what God, think about it, when you put all of it together, God is saying, I want a relationship with you so bad. I've done everything to make that possible. Now, I'm not going to let you approach me half-heartedly. You can forget that. I'm more precious than anything. Not me now, God. But I've made a way. Well, God, what about, no, I've made a way. You don't get, I've made a way. This is the way you're going to have to do it. And everything now that you offer me needs to be my way. And guess what? Even in this, this is not some egotistical God that just wants to be worshipped. It's for your good. He created you. He created you. He knows what he created you for. It's for your... Hey, Cain, if you do it right, guess what, Cain? Your countenance will be lifted up. If you do it right, there's a joy in it for you. But if you do not, sin is crossing that door. And many of us refuse to accept this. If you don't do it his way, it's sin. It is. Sin is crossing at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. And of course, God is trying to reveal something about Cain's heart here. You won't even come to me in the way that I've told you. There's something that obviously, because of what happened in Genesis, they don't fully understand this, but now you have a fallen nature. You have this sin nature that's desiring to destroy you. He says, but you must master it. Look, one of the hardest things for us is reading the Bible, seeing what it says, and just doing that. Man thinks he's gotten so smart and so creative that he's now become more creative than God, and that he can do things that God's going to be impressed with him about. That's a very dangerous and sinful mindset to have. He tells Cain here that, Cain, if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door. This thing is going to only get worse. It's crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you got to master it. God's message to Cain remains so timeless and powerful, saying that, you know what, be careful, you guys, to try to think that you can do things in your own way. These things right here, it becomes to a point where you can do things to a point that nobody can even tell you anything any different. I know God accepts this. How do you know that? Especially when it's contrary to the word of God. I don't care how good the praise team, I don't care how good that person that may be standing up there speaking, if it's not according to the word of God, it's not true worship. You know, there are going to be many people spend an hour to 2 hours to 3 hours in church today, and they ain't bit more worship God. And that may be even true of us in here today. If your attitude and your heart, if your heart's attitude was not to come in here today to give of yourself, because what does he say your most reasonable worship and sacrifice to him is? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's your reasonable. That's your reasonable worship. So here's what I'm saying. If it's not real outside those doors, there's no real worship in here. If you're living for you through the week out there, you can go to church 52 Sundays in the year, and you would not have worship, not one out of the 52. You can't live for you out there and think God is just going to accept what you do in here. It's not going to happen. You might feel good when you leave, but this is a walk of faith and not feelings. Faith has to do with what God has said and done. It's incumbent upon you and I to find out what he has said and done and respond accordingly. And when you do that, you can be sure when you come in here that you're worshiping. One of the songs we used to sing back in the day that I used to love that song, My Worship is for Real. You don't know my, we used to get so emotional. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. All the things I've been through. All that can be true. And still no real worship. Just because you've been through something, name a person in here that ain't been through something, that they ain't lived long enough. Everybody's been through something. That don't make your worship real. I was doing a whole lot of things when I was going through something. No. Acceptable worship, you guys, here's the key to it. Acceptable worship is when you understand what God requires of you and you do that. That's as simple as it gets. That your worship is not, yes, I believe emotions play a part in it. I believe that when you're worshiping in spirit and in truth, that's what, you know what, when Jesus tells the woman, hey, God is searching for ones that are going to worship in spirit and truth. Now, because I made a way through my son, when you place your faith in him, I will give you my spirit, a new heart in my spirit. So now you're able to worship me in spirit because God is spirit, because you have his Holy Spirit in you. But the part, we understand that part, the other part we don't get. And in truth, thy word, O God, is truth. You have to worship him with his spirit and according to his word. Those are the two. That, and then you can be sure. So now, you, if it's accord with his spirit, who enables you to live for him out there according to his word, so that when you come in here, your worship is real. But God's correction, you guys, when he's telling him this, it's always an action of love right there. God's, it's to protect us from ourselves. He was trying to protect Cain from himself. Cain, if you do right, you're going to be, your countenance is going to be lifted up. If you don't, though, I'm trying to protect you, Cain. If you don't, sin is crouching at the door. And you, its desire is to devour you. Its desire is for you. And I love, he did not condemn Cain immediately. He offered Cain a way out. Today you're getting offered a way out through grace and through forgiveness. And that's found in Christ, you guys. But through Christ, you're empowered now to turn away from anger and choose righteousness, Cain. You could have chose righteousness. He gave you an option there, a choice, a way out. And yet we find in verse 8, Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and killed him. And I thought about that thing. Cain told Abel, his brother. Why would he go tell? You get the indication he out there complaining about God. And now, why would, if he's out there complaining about God, but it came about in time that Cain rose up against Abel and killed him, why would he do that? I have to believe Abel tried to encourage him as well. Do what is right. And see, people get upset with you when you try to tell them to do what is right. They may not physically kill you. They just stop coming around you. They don't want to be around you no more. But we see something of what God tried to keep him from. He says, you better be careful because sin has a desire for you. And if you don't master it, now, of course, you and I know that the only way to master sin is to understand that you and within yourself, you cannot master sin. You can't master sin. Most people don't even realize that apart from Jesus Christ, you are a slave to sin. Since sin controls you, there's a nature inside you that makes you do what you do. And the only way that that nature can be defeated is genuine faith in Christ Jesus and his finished works on the cross. He is the one that is able to destroy that nature, that sin nature. And when he destroys that sin nature, he gives you a new nature. It is God now who works his will in you. He gives you his Holy Spirit now. That's why it's called you're born again. But I'm afraid that many of us are still falling prey to the same whispers of that serpent in that garden that we think we can approach God any kind of way. Here's the evidence. I don't want you looking at your neighbor. Whoever you came with, I just want you to think about yourself. You at home, think about yourself. Do I live for him out there? Because that's going to determine whether anything I do in here is real. I don't care if you've been preaching for 10 years. I don't care if you've been the director of the praise team for 20 years. You would have wasted time. There are many churches got the cross marquee up there, and Christ is not getting any glory on Sunday mornings. Acceptable worship is only accepted when you do it his way. He gives us this example. Adam and Eve had many more sons and daughters. These two are named because they reveal something to us that God wants us to see. I believe he wanted us to see. You got two individuals that believe that they're worshiping me through their offering. One I had a regard for and one I didn't. And when you search the scriptures a little bit deeper, you find out one offered a better sacrifice because it was a sacrifice by faith. And it just simply means one understood the assignment. He did it according to God's will, and therefore God had regard for it. Is your worshiping here today being offered in faith, or is it not? Because that determines whether it's acceptable worship. Amen? Father, thank you for our time together in your word today, God. And I pray, God, that you would impress this upon our hearts, God. I can be transparent, God, and say, as I'm speaking to you in the hearing of these people, I don't know how many, countless number of Sundays that I have come and offered vain worship. But I thank you, God, that I see grace in here, that I see your protection in here, God. I see that you offer a way out, God. And I just pray now, God, that we would see ourselves as you see us right now and understand the grace and forgiveness that's found in Jesus, God, and that we would turn, God, and choose today, choose righteousness in him so that our countenance would be lifted up, God. Too many times, our possessions, our health, all these things blur, God, our true heart's condition spiritually. We think because we hadn't had profound trouble in a little while, that means we all right with you. I just pray now, God, that you will open the eyes of our hearts and help us see us as you truly see us today. Because no one in this world and out of this world deserves the honor, praise, and glory but you and you alone. So I pray now, move in our hearts. Help us to see and give us that desire, God, to bring in this place acceptable worship, God. It's the least we can do. We can't repay you for all that you've done, but we can offer our gratitude through acceptable worship, God. So help us examine ourselves not only today, but in the days to come. And please forgive us for when we did not offer those acceptable worship to you. Thank you for your word. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Because on first Sundays we observe Holy Communion, and this is, we do it in remembrance of what Christ did for us. But this too won't mean anything if you don't come the way he wants you to come. And he tells us how he wants us to come. You come with reverence. You do not take this lightly. Do you know during Corinthians, in biblical times, during the early church of Corinth, many of them got sick, some even died when they took this observance lightly. They treat it as if it's an unholy thing. How do you treat it as if it's an unholy thing? That you partake in it in remembrance of him, but knowing that you're not committed to him. It's free in the sense of if you desire to partake, partake. But I will say this, I believe this is an observance that's supposed to be observed by believers, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And I also believe as a believer, if there are known things in your life, repent before you take it. You ain't got to tell it to nobody beside you, but tell it to the Lord in your heart. He already know anyway. But if anybody's in my overlook, please raise your hand. I got three on the right and one up front over here. As they're doing it, I love something I heard in the announcements this morning when Elder Tucker was talking about the announcement in VBS, and he told you guys we were going to move a little bit slower with the children this year because we want to make sure that we're teaching them Bible and making sure that it's in a way that they can understand it. The reason I love that so much is because what's become thought as acceptable worship is when a preacher gets up here and hoop and holler. Part of what becomes my worship to God is to study the scriptures and to explain what he says in his word and not get up here and try to entertain you. So this is not about that hallelujah good time in the sense of flipping over chairs and just shouting and jumping around and stuff. And I'm not saying that to be comical, I'm serious. This is a very solemn time. When you read through the New Testament, particularly Acts, and they go to church, you don't hear and see all that stuff. You see where God uses his apostles and prophets during that time, and I believe pastors and teachers today, to teach the people what the word of God says in a way, prayerfully, that they understand so that they might apply it to their lives. Do some of those get very encouraging to the point that it make you shout? I do. Some of those times, though, is going to be in there where it's going to be a little quiet, where you got to think through some things because you're looking at yourself. So make sure you're at a place where the focus is on what has God said and done. Paul said these words as he wrote to the Corinthian church. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Father, we thank you. We thank you for the body that was prepared so that the Son of God will step down out of heaven, God, and into that body, be born into that body, God, so that he could give his life as a ransom for many. It was that body, God, that he will offer, a body that at first was without sin, but in love and mercy, he was willing to take on all of our sin in that body and nail it to that cross. Father, we thank you for the body. We pray that you'll bless this as we partake. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is in the new covenant and in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This cup is the new covenant. The new covenant in Christ. Father, we pray and we thank you for the blood. You made it very clear, even as we talked about sacrifices today, that the blood of bulls and goats would not ever be enough to atone for our sins. And that's why the Son became the God-man. He humbled himself, God, and became like us, and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient even to death on a cross. It was his blood and only his blood, no works of our own, God, but only his blood was an acceptable payment for my sins and theirs. As a matter of fact, it was an acceptable payment for the sins of the world to be received by faith. We thank you for Christ's blood that was shed on the cross, the blood that is able to wash away all of our sins, to turn them from crimson red to white as snow. Please bless this cup as we partake. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. For as often as you do it, you eat this bread and drink this cup, here's what you're doing. You're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. My encouragement as we prepare to leave today, I want to give you an opportunity. Well, I'm going to encourage you rather. As he tarries, as he's being patient, make sure you're in a right relationship with Christ. Make sure you have accepted the fact that you were born a sinner and that all of your good deeds are filthy rags to Him. Make sure you understand that there is no other name under heaven that you can be saved except the name of Christ. Make sure you understand you need a Savior. You will not be able to approach God any kind of way. You will not get a chance to reel off all the things you've done, all the sick people you've taken care of, all the hunger you've fed, the old ladies you helped cross the street. None of it will matter except for what you have done with the person of Jesus Christ. Then everything after that matters. Give your life to Him today if you haven't already. We do have food prepared for you in the back. I pray that you'll hang around and grab something. And now is the time. Remember I said before service, let's focus and be ready to worship God. Now is the time I want you to go back there and fellowship one with another and tell them about what you did yesterday on the 4th and anything else your heart desire. But I hope you'll hang around and spend some time with one another. Let me pray for you one last time and pray for the food, and then I'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your evening. Father, we thank you again for our time together today. And again, God, I'm grateful that every day that you give us an opportunity to get it right. And so we thank you, God, that you're so patient and you're so kind. As these people prepare to leave this place, God, I just pray over them again, your favor and your blessings, God. And for those who may not belong to you, I pray for strong convictions in their heart, God. That they will see how truly good you are and see the amazing love that you have displayed by sending your son to Calvary on our behalf. For the food that has been prepared in the back, God, we thank you so much for the hands that prepared it, and we pray over that food, God. Just as we bless this cup and bless that bread, God, we so now bless the physical bread that's in the back, God, that we are to partake to sustain us physically. May it be used for the nourishment of our bodies, for Christ's sake. Amen. God bless you and enjoy. Please leave that playing until they leave out. But you guys, please go and enjoy yourselves in the back. I'll be back with you shortly.